that it does not return void, but that your word accomplishes all that you have for it to accomplish. Holy Spirit, you are so welcome in our midst this morning. And Father, we just thank you. Thank you that we can gather together like this. But Lord, we just say, may all the praise and the honor and the glory go to you this morning. Thank you, Father, for loving us so much, for sending your only begotten Son to die for us on that cross, that we may step into an eternity in your presence. So this morning, Lord, we're so grateful. We just say thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good morning, everybody. Are we ready to receive the word? Maybe the volume just still down a little bit. Thank you. Are we ready to receive the word this morning? Speak to your heart and say, heart, open up and receive everything. Folks, today's message really focuses on some of the verses that we see in the book of Galatians. This is Paul's letter when he wrote to the church in Galatia. And today I'm going to be speaking about fruit, but not any old kind of fruit, right? I'm going to be talking about a special kind of fruit here today. I'm going to be speaking about the fruit of the Spirit. And in fact, that is the title of my message here this morning, the fruit of the Spirit. Let me start off by saying this, folks. Don't expect big, big, juicy fruit in your garden. Or don't expect big, juicy fruit in your life. If you are out there and you're planting seeds of dandelions and burrs and blackjacks, huh? Think about it. Think about that for a moment. Planting the right and the correct seeds makes all the difference. And we need to be mindful of this. So today, I hope that as I share this message, that spiritual seeds will be planted and that these seeds grow beautiful, big, juicy spiritual fruits in your life and my life here this morning as well. So I want to start off with a question. How can you tell if someone is growing spiritually? A lot of chitter-chatter. Folks, let me give you the answer to that. You will see evidence of the fruit of the Spirit in their lives. Huh? You will see evidence of the fruit of the Spirit in their lives. Let me say this as well. No fruit of the Spirit means no growth. And we need to look at ourselves and be honest with ourselves when it comes to this. So I'm asking us a question here today. How's your fruit? How's your fruit? Right? So this morning, you know, even before we have a look at the fruits of the Spirit, let's have a look at the works of the flesh. Now, the works of the flesh is really, you know, when we talk about the works of the flesh, this is not the fruit of the Spirit. Is that right? In fact, this is the opposite. I want to first read Galatians 5, verse 24. We're going to spend most of our time, like I said, in Galatians. And it says, and those who belong to Christ Jesus. I'm asking, do you belong to Christ Jesus?
Yes.
Good, okay. Now, then this is for you. Have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So what it's saying, that if you and I are believers in Jesus, we have made a decision to crucify the flesh, because all these fleshly passions and desires that we have, obviously it comes from the flesh. And we need to be actively being aware of it, first of all, and actually doing what the Word of God says, right? Crucifying the flesh. So, you know, we have a choice right there. We can, you know, we crucify and we actually put down the flesh so that it gives us an opportunity to ensure that we are those who actually live and walk by the Spirit as well. So, question now, what are then the works of the flesh? Well, I'm so pleased you asked that question this morning. So, because you asked it, I'm going to answer it. And this is in verse 19, it says, now the works of the flesh are evident. It starts off the first one, illicit sex. Illicit sex, right? anything outside of marriage, illicit sex. Folks, we need to be mindful of these things, really mindful of these things, because so often we don't hear about this, you know, in church, because we don't want to offend anybody. All right? Do you mind being offended today? It's very quiet here. Can somebody help me?
No.
You don't mind being offended? Okay, cool. Well, I'm not going to offend you, but I can tell you something. The Word of God will offend you. Okay, we need to get our lifestyle and our thinking to line up with God's Word. So the first one. Now, the works of the flesh are evident. Illicit sex, perversion, promiscuity, idolatry. Well, you might say, well, there, what, you know, what's an idol? Let me tell you, an idol is anything in your life that you elevate above the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that right? That's an idol. So if you allocate, or if you elevate your children, for example, and many people do because we love our kids. But if your children are elevated above Jesus, they become an idol in your life. It might be your money. If your money is more important to you than Jesus, you elevate your money above Jesus, it becomes an idol. So that's what an idol is. So it's idolatry. It says drug use. Hatred. Now, hatred really is the opposite to love. Is that correct? Hatred. Rivalry. Jealousy. What is jealousy? That is really resenting other people's success. When people are successful, we need to celebrate, folks, with them, right? But so often we look at it, and there's something on the inside of us, and, oh, man, you know, why they got it and I don't? Huh? Let's celebrate what the Lord is doing in people's lives. Angry outbursts. This is a work of the flesh. Huh? Fortunately, this doesn't apply to us. Any of us here, okay? But I'm just telling you what the Word says, angry outburst. Selfish ambition. God has created us to be ambitious, right? But when it becomes selfish ambition, when it's all about our own self-interest continually, and we are not concerned about other people, that is when it becomes a problem. It says selfish ambition. That's the work of the flesh. Conflict, where we are continually in conflict, that's the work of the flesh, because we retaliate, and as we retaliate, it causes conflict. And where we are, where there's conflict, there's absolutely no peace, as I said. Factions, envy, these are the works of the flesh. What is envy? Envy is a desire, you know, to have something that somebody else possesses. Huh? Drunkenness, wild partying, and similar things. So, do you feel relieved that none of this applies to us? Huh? Thank you, Jesus. Huh? Sure. You know, we came up with a list of things over here, and not one of these applied to any of us in this church. Yeah. Now the Bible goes on, and it speaks about the fruits of the Spirit, and that's what we're going to be focusing on here today. Verse 22 in Galatians 5 says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and again, does this describe you? Do these words that I'm going to be speaking out here, the fruit of, does this describe you? Love, are you a loving person? Joy, peace, always at peace, patient, kind, or kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Folks, verse 25 says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So we are saying that we are believers in Jesus and we are living by the Spirit, but we need to walk by the Spirit. In other words, we apply this in our lives. The next verse says, let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So those few verses tell us how we should live and what we should be like and also what we shouldn't be like. Notice that Paul here, he's basically given us two lists, which is the work of the flesh, is the one list, and of course the fruits of the Spirit. Now the work of the flesh violates God's laws, and not only God's laws, but God's principles as well. So really, to help us now to understand this message, I just want to give us a few pointers. In fact, only four pointers here this morning. And all of these pointers I'm going to give us here this morning have to do with seeds, fruit, planting, okay, reaping. In other words, we're going to keep it in the garden this morning, okay? All right, we're going to keep it in the garden. Principle number one, you will reap what you sow. Galatians 6:7. Do not be deceived. Folks, we've spoken about deception. We know that this is one of the tools that the enemy uses. He comes, he's a deceiver. He's the deceiver of the brethren. Do not be deceived. Jesus even told his disciples that walked with him for 3 years. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his flesh, there it is, now the flesh comes up. The one who sows to his flesh will from the flesh reap, watch what it is, corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will reap from the Spirit, reap eternal life. So we need to understand that what we reap, folks, is as a result of what we sow. So important. I want to read you a little story here. Okay, this is a young man that came to a 90-year-old man. And again, and he's old. And you know what happens with people when they get old? I mean, and none of us here know. But what happens is they tend to have a lot of wisdom. So here's a young man speaking to an old guy that's 90 years old. So the young man came to the 90-year-old man and he asked him. He says, how have you lived so long? And how do you stay so happy and, you know, happy and full of joy and all of this? And the old man took the youngster to an orchard and he pointed to some large trees full of apples. So get the picture. He's pointing out and he says, check those trees over there. They're all full of apples. And he says, I planted these trees when I was a boy and I'm now permitted to gather the fruit from them. And then he said these wise words, we gather in old age what we plant in our youth. Folks, we gather in old age what we plant in our youth. And I want to ask us today, what are you planting? What have you planted? What did you plant years back? We're going to talk about this because sometimes we have to nullify some of the stuff that we have planted in the past. Because there's a very, very interesting scripture. Just one or two verses. I'm going to read it to us just now. But it talks about this thing of sin. And it talks about how our sin catches up with us. So here you are. Look at this picture. This is you. Right? And here's your sin. And my sin. Let me always include myself. Otherwise, you guys start pointing fingers at me. It says that as we go, there you go, you see how far you are away from your sin? But the Word of God says that your sin will catch up with you. And so often we think, well, let me not go ahead of myself. I want to talk a little bit about that just now. Okay. But what are you planting? Because whatever you have planted in the past, you're going to reap the benefit of that, whether it is good or whether it is bad. And when we lead our lives, really, folks, for example, in a sexually immoral way, we will reap the consequences. I'm just saying. You know, if we go out there and we sow continually immoral impurity, right, we will reap the fruit of immoral impurity. Just saying. That's what the Bible says right there. And when we live in hatred, we will reap the fruit of hatred, because what you are planting, you're going to reap. So if we go out there and we live in hatred and strife and jealousy, okay, what do you think you're going to reap ultimately? you will always reap what you sow. Now it's interesting this, because when we have gone out there and we have sown badly, it might have been a while back, when we have sown badly, what we need to do is to come to the Lord and repent. We need to repent. Make the changes. Make the necessary adjustments. Because when we do, the Word says that He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. It says from all unrighteousness. Is that true? But many, many people don't do that. And ultimately, it catches up with us. So that's the first principle. Principle number two. Much time may pass between sowing and reaping. Is that true? How many of you have gone out there? I know we all get excited. You know, the first thing would be have our own little property. It's going to be cool to plant millies. Huh? We all want to go and plant some millies. Huh? So you go out there and you plant a millipip. But how many of you have come back the next day and checked it out and you get all disappointed because there's no millie tree? There's no millie tree. This bush hasn't grown and it's got no millies on. Do we get bent out of shape? The thing is, there's time between sowing and reaping. No farmer goes and plants today and expects a harvest tomorrow. It takes time, folks. And you may say, oh, well, you know what, Dave? Seriously, you know, I've tried. I've really tried. And over the years, I've gone out there and I've planted so many really, really good seeds. But I've not yet reaped any of all those good things that I planted in the past. My answer to you is, don't worry. Your time's coming. Your time's coming. But then you have people, this is on the flip side of that, you know, they will say, well, you know what? I've gone out there and I'm doing my thing. I'm going to carry on doing my thing. You know why? Because I've read this, I've seen it in the Bible, and to be quite honest, God has not punished me yet. God hasn't punished me yet. I've lived for years and years. God hasn't punished me. So why should I change? I'm enjoying, you know, this fleshly lifestyle of mine. It's so cool. God hasn't done it. Folks, some folks, somehow, Christians, think that they have a little agreement just between them and God. This doesn't involve anybody else. It's like, you know, God says, thumbs up, you know, okay, you can go out and sin and do your thing. Just between you, just between the two of us. Folks, God hates sin. And when you think that you've got a little deal going with God, I'm telling you, be very, very careful. And if our attitude in all of this is, well, this is okay, again, be very, very careful. Now, this is the scripture I wanted to, that I've kind of mentioned previously. This is Numbers 32:23. It says, but if you will not do so, look out, you will be sinning against the Lord. So if you don't do what the Lord says, you'll be sinning against the Lord. And then it says this, and be certain of this. Be certain of this. Your sin will catch up with you. Does it say that? Yeah. Your sin will catch up with you. Again, get that picture. Here you are. Here's your sin. And as we go through life, well, I'm carrying on. You know, nothing's happened yet. It will catch up. It doesn't say it might catch up with you. It will catch up with you. And folks, that is why it is so important when we mess up, and we do mess up, that we take this thing to the Lord and we actually repent immediately. He knows what we've done. He knows what we've done, but He wants us to come and tell Him and ask us to forgive Him, and then He forgives us and He forgets about it. Right? The problem is that we think we can get away with stuff. It will catch up with us, folks. And this particular verse, this is really about Moses, where he warns the Israelites in the scripture that, you know, their sin will catch up with him. So, folks, we must live our lives knowing that God is watching. He's created you. He knows everything about you. The Word of God says that even the words, before words come out of your mouth, He already knows what it is. And all He's saying to us is that when you do mess up, come and tell me about it and repent of it. In other words, He wants us to be mindful of this thing. So we must live our lives knowing that God is watching us. We need to make sure that we live our lives remembering that you are born again. I'm born again. That means that God the Holy Spirit dwells on the inside of us. And if he lives on the inside of you, where are you taking the Holy Spirit? What are you exposing the Holy Spirit to? What are you allowing the Holy Spirit to be exposed to on your TV, on your laptop, in your books, whatever? I'm just asking, okay? Because he wants us to make sure that, well, we should be making sure that we do not expose God to anything that he should not be exposed to. The way we live today is going to impact on our lives tomorrow. It's going to affect our lives tomorrow. What we sow today is going to reap fruit in the future. And remember that fruit doesn't just jump up. It's not going to be there tomorrow or the next day. Fruit takes time to grow and to develop and so on. So the good seed that we plant today, when we're planting good seeds, folks, and let's do it. We plant good seeds today, we will eat good from them in the future. Principle number three. What you sow and reap, listen here, determines your destiny. What you sow, planting, and what you reap determines your destiny. So in other words, you go out there and you sow a thought. You sow it. I'm not just, okay, you sow in a thought. You will reap an action. You go out there and you plant or sow an action, you're going to reap a habit. You go out there and you plant or sow a habit, you're going to reap a character. Go out there and plant a character, and ultimately you are going to reap a destiny. And what's so interesting about this, it all starts off with a thought that hasn't been, we've spoken about it, you know, making sure that we take every thought captive. We entertain stuff that we shouldn't be entertaining. So it starts off with nothing more than a thought. Proverbs 4:23 says, it says keep, or another, some translations said guard your heart with all vigilance. Why must we guard our hearts? For from it flow the spring of life. And then the fourth one I'd like to speak about, what you reap is a result of what is on the inside of you. Do you believe that? What you and I are reaping, it's as a result of what we've allowed in and what's now permanently on the inside of us. We see in Luke 6:43, it says, for no good tree gives bad fruit, and no bad tree gives good fruit. For every tree is judged by its fruit. Now, for example, we spoke about the guy with the apple tree earlier on. Can you imagine that in your garden, you've got an apple tree, and every single year, it's got fruit apples on it, with little worms that come out, and the apples are the size of that, you know. Every year. What do you do? Do you start to point fingers at the fruit, or do you blame the tree? For every tree is judged by its fruit. Men do not get figs from thorns and grapes from blackberry plants. A good man, out of the good store of his heart, so what's in your heart, gives good things. It's talking about people. And an evil man, out of the evil store that's on the inside of him, gives evil. For out of the full store of the heart comes the words of the mouth. Some translations say, out of the abundance of the heart. What's on the inside of us? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Have you ever met people like that you meet for the first time? I have. I'm sure we all have. You meet somebody, you kind of connect with them, and you don't know them, and you start chatting. Man, as soon as they feel comfortable with you, watch what comes out of their mouth. Because that is who they are. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You'll be able to assess them very, very. It's not rocket science. You know, to see what's on the inside of a person, So I'm asking you, how is your fruit? Now, I'm not asking you how your fruit is when you're in church on a Sunday morning. Okay? Because we all got beautiful fruit. I mean, we demonstrate this beautiful fruit. How is your fruit when you get home? When we talk about the fruit of the Spirit. What fruit are you eating today? Huh? You will see, folks, good fruit if you allow God the Holy Spirit to work on the inside of us. Isn't that true? All right. So I put a big Q here, and a Q in my notes means question. So I'm going to ask you a question. How will we know if we are producing spiritual fruit? Yeah. How will you know if you are producing spiritual fruit? Can I tell you how you'll know? Other people will see it. Other people will see it. They will see it in your life. Anyway, okay, so that was my introduction to what I want to speak about today. Okay, all right. Okay, so we're going to now be speaking about the fruit of the Spirit. And yeah, it's wonderful. I mean, the fruit of the Spirit, and this is something that should be evident in all of our lives. The first one, okay, number one, spiritual fruit reveals Christ-likeness. Do you know that? When the fruit of the Spirit is evident in your life, people will see Christ in you, the hope of glory. Why? Because it produces love. And if you ever try to define God, it would be that God is love. Is that right? 1 John 4:8, anyone who does not love does not know God because God is love. So this is the fruit of the Spirit, this love. And this kind of love needs to be in our heart so that we can, first of all, love God, that we can love our families, that we love other people. And in fact, the Bible even speaks about us loving our enemies. I won't get into that one now. That's a tough one. That is tough, eh? All right. But folks, again, I think I spoke about this last week or the week before, but if people have treated you really, really badly, and it's something that's so deep on the inside of you that you find a resentment that is rising up continually and it's so difficult to deal with, and that resentment can become hatred. You know that? Right? You need to ask the Lord. Ask the Lord, you know, to come and help and actually assist you with this so that His love is released in your life. And the reason why we do this is to set you free. To set you free, okay? This is not about letting the other person off the hook. This is to set you free and to set me free as well when it comes to this thing. Because what we do, the way we do it, we actually hand it over to the Lord and we say, Father, this whole situation, I'm laying it at the foot of the cross. And Father, whatever it takes, I'm asking you, with regards to that person, that becomes between you and that person, and it's no longer me carrying this thing around. Because, folks, it will destroy us. And obviously, in this area, it's forgiveness as well. So without God's love, folks, this emotion of hate that we might find on the inside of us, it won't change, and it has to change. The next one. A spiritual fruit reveals contentment. Now I'm using the word contentment because we know that the fruit of the Spirit here is joy. Do you think that you can be totally joyful and you're not content? Doesn't happen, right? So we see joy when we are content, and you know this fruit of joy in our lives. The Bible talks about it, that the joy of the Lord is our strength. So this joy that we should experience as believers is the joy of the Lord is our strength. And there is a huge difference, again, between joy and happiness, right, where happiness is an emotion. This joy, you can go through trials and tribulations and difficulties and still experience that joy on the inside of you. So the Bible says, like I said, you know, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And you know that when you are in that situation, you can be joyful, that you know that He will comfort you. You know that the Lord is right there with you, that He will provide for you in your times of maybe trials, tribulations, difficulties, and so on. Great contentment, and that is what it is, okay? Joy, contentment, you know, those you can't have one without the other. The next one, the spiritual fruit, we talk about unity, but this is really about peace, isn't that right? Do you think you can have, you know, the fruit of the Spirit is peace? Can you have peace without unity? You can't. Can a nation that is, you know, yeah, well, we can't. You can't have peace without unity. So we need to know this, and then what we do, we actually sow unity and peace in our lives. We do our best to sow unity and peace with our children. We sow in unity and peace. Remember, we sow in unity and peace with our spouse. We sow in unity and peace with our boss. Get on with your boss. Yeah, I hear so many people get irritated with their boss. Huh? And they will tell everybody else except the boss. The boss never hears about it, but they tell everybody. My boss, whinge, yeah. I'm saying, get on with your boss. Just make sure you do. And also that we sow unity and peace when driving. Huh? My wife says, speak to yourself. It happened to me yesterday. Seriously. We're giving Nontebeka, she was in the car with us. We have this guy driving in front of us. All over, like, and he must have been doing like 25 kilometers an hour, but there's oncoming cars. Now, a man can only take so much. Huh? Seriously. And it started irritating me. That's why I'm sharing, I'm confessing my sins to you. Huh? He was irritating me so much. Eventually, there was a gap, and there's a car coming towards me, and I put my foot down and zipped out, zipped in, and kind of. And as we drove past, Nontebeka said, look at him. There he's on his phone. Okay? Like this. But he stole my peace. A thief. Okay? Satan comes to steal and kill and to destroy. And this guy stole my peace yesterday. Anyway. Okay, so I've confessed. All right. We need to try, folks, to make sure that our peace is not stolen, says he whose peace was stolen yesterday. Another one, spiritual fruit reveals humility. And now this is actually linked to the patience that we see. You know, patience is a fruit of the Spirit. I wanted to say this, and you might not believe what I'm going to say right now. I want to tell you, the best that I can, that you are not the center of the universe. Right? Seriously, you are not the center of the universe. In fact, tell the person next to you. No, I didn't say tell them that they're not. Tell them that you're not. What do you get, right? Okay. Well, what do you do when you're out there and you don't get your own way in something? What do you do when you have to wait in a line? Huh? You have to really wait in a line. Okay. I'm watching you. I'm seeing people blushing here. I'm telling you. What do you do when people ask you for your advice and you give them the advice and they don't use it? Huh? What do you do when you're on a very important phone call and suddenly there's no coverage and go, huh? Now, folks, these are opportunities for us. At that point, you remind yourself that you are not the center of the universe. Yeah. Okay. And what we actually do, we use those opportunities to start to water the fruit of patience. Huh? Because when you do this, you're going to be representing Jesus really well. Is that right? Okay. Folks, you might be in traffic. And you want to get to that meeting. And you really want to get to that meeting. And it's just backed up. It's like you're on the highway and you're in a parking lot. You know that feeling? It just could be that God is using that to keep you from some real disaster out there. In fact, it might even be that God created that parking lot scenario on the highway just for you. So there's an opportunity right there to just say thank you, Lord, and to demonstrate patience. You know, folks, this spiritual fruit, you know, the fruits of the Spirit, do you know that it reveals compassion? If we have the fruit of the Spirit, it reveals compassion. And why I'm saying compassion, because kindness, goodness, and gentleness, those are three of the fruits of the Spirit. But those three together actually represent or demonstrate compassion. So what I'm saying is, basically, that compassion, those three, is love in action. That's what compassion is. Love in action. Okay? And this needs to be evident in our lives. And then, of course, spiritual fruit, you know, this thing of, you know, trust and dependence. Do we trust and depend on God? Because we need to. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Another word for trusting in God and depending on God is faith. It's interesting. Some translations, when I was preparing this, they actually, some will say faith or faithfulness. But obviously they link. But I'm talking about faith here, folks. Right? Trust and dependence in God is a fruit of the Spirit. And then also repentance, which is really self-control. Okay, confession, when we confess something to God, remember I said how important confession is. But when we confess, that is really only half of the battle when we confess to God. Because without self-control, there is no repentance. Is that true? Without self-control, there is no repentance. And without repentance, let me say that we are actually in danger of developing a hard heart when it comes to these things of the fruit of the Spirit. How do we now develop and how do we cultivate spiritual fruit? And I want to just give us three things that we can do. Let me first ask the question. How many of us here today want to develop and cultivate spiritual fruit in our lives? Wonderful. 60% of the church. I mean, this is amazing. I don't know what you 40% are doing here. Huh? So this is something that we should desire, right, to develop and to cultivate spiritual fruit. The first one, for us to do this, love God's word. Love God's word. Psalm 1:1, blessed is a person who does not follow the advice of the wicked, take the path of sinners, or join the company of mockers. That person is blessed. It says, verse 2, rather, he delights in the teachings of the Lord. Does that describe you? Do you delight in the teaching and in the teachings of the Lord and reflects his teachings day and night? In other words, what we do, not only are we reading the word of God, but we're meditating on God's word, applying God's word in our own lives. And then he says, verse 3, that person, the person that embraces the word of God is like a tree planted beside streams, a tree that produces fruit in season and whose leaves do not wither. Then he says, he succeeds in everything he does. Who wants to succeed in everything we do? Well, the word of God tells us how to do that. And it's a basic one, folks. We need to get into God's word and not only hear it, but we meditate on it and we apply it in our own lives. So I'm asking, are we reading the word? I know I encouraged us last week. How many of us started a one-year Bible reading program? 1, 2, 3, 4. Well, it's interesting. I see a whole bunch of people. And what's interesting, we got mirrors here. And I saw one there. And I saw just hands go up all over this place. All right? So lots of us have started a Bible, but that's so good. It's so good that we have something that, you know, kind of disciplines us. So make sure, folks, that we actually plant the seeds of God's word deep into our heart, right? Because when we plant seeds there, we will definitely reap whatever we sow in there. So my question was, you know, how do we develop spiritual fruit? The next one is to be teachable. Is that true? We need to be teachable. We need to allow the Lord to actually teach us. You know, we have messages that I put out on a daily basis during the course of the week. It's only a 10-minute message, but I want to encourage every single one of us to listen to those. I know those of you that are listening are passing them on all over the place, and that's a good thing to do. But there are many, you know, where it's telling us that we need to grow in the things of God, but we're not doing it. This is not laying a number on us, but really I would recommend embrace those things. Go through those things, because over a period of time, you will just be amazed, you know, how you've actually rooted yourself in God's word. So we need to be teachable. It says in 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable. It's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Training in righteousness. Why? That the man of God or the woman of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. Folks, so I'm saying allow God's word to change you, to change really who you are. And we need to be those who are teachable. The path of least resistance is that we don't do this. Is that true? And then the third one is really live a repentant lifestyle, because it does cultivate spiritual fruit. Leading a life where we are continuing. When we mess up, we take it straight to the Lord. Father, I come before you and I ask you to forgive me my sins so that I stand totally cleansed before you. Lord, that there's nothing that separates me from you. And if we are doing that with the right heart attitude, that sin, when we looked at that other scripture, it will not catch up with you. Okay, it's been dealt with. It says in Matthew 3:7, but when he, this is now John the Baptist, saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming to the baptism, again, the religious leaders of the day, he said to them, John the Baptist, can get the picture of him standing there with his, you know, how did he dress with? Kind of, I don't know, hides around him and I don't know. We've all got our own picture of old John. But John looks at these religious leaders, I'm sure he pointed them, and he says to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? And then he says, the word says, bear fruit in keeping with repentance. I'll say it again, bear fruit in keeping with repentance. Folks, and what this is saying, that we need to be those that live in this. And I'm telling you right now, every one of us are going to mess up between today and when we gather again next Sunday. But if we apply this, you can be assured that those sins that they spoke about that will catch up with you, when we deal with those things in our lives, they're going to be dealt with. So that's why we need to live a life of repentance. So what I want to do, just for 2 minutes now, just really give a bit of a recap on what I said here today. Just some indicators of our fruit bearing. First of all, love, right? Make sure, folks, that we love God. That's a starting point. That we make a decision to have a deep relationship with our Creator. Love God. And out of that love, it's easy for us to love our family and love ourselves and love other people as well. So that's a starting point. And also, joy. In spite of our circumstances, joy is a fruit of the Spirit. I said earlier on, there's a difference between happiness and joy. Joy is not an emotion. Joy is something that is deep. It's like touches the Spirit. It's deep on the inside of us, right? And the Word does say that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Peace with God and with man. That's so important. Yeah, we don't have to fight everything. Peace with God. Let's have peace with God and peace with man, because that peace is the peace that surpasses all understanding. Showing patience in the trials of life. A difficult thing to show patience. Let's try this week. Maybe that's one we focus on. Let's try not to be irritable. Let's work on that one. And I mentioned too, you know, the thing of kindness, goodness, and gentleness. Those are three of the fruit of the Spirit. But when we start to show that, demonstrate that towards other people, that is what we would call compassion. Compassion. And compassion is basically love in action. And of course, that we have a genuine faith in God. God wants us to have faith in Him. Faith comes. Isn't it? I'm so excited that faith comes. Imagine if we didn't know how to get faith. God says you need to have faith, but we don't know how to get it. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing by the word of God. And then, of course, we demonstrate self-control the best we can in all situations. But we work at these things. Again, this is fruit. Fruit, like I said right in the beginning, fruit doesn't happen overnight. It's a process from the time we plant a seed to the time we actually pick some big juicy fruit. So we will know that we have grown spiritually when we start to see these fruits, the fruit of the Spirit, evident in our lives. Isn't that true? Isn't God good to us? That we can actually look at this and, you know, start to adjust things in our own lives so that we can do things, you know, His way. Thanks, Jenny. Just turn off. So, folks, that's it.